Welcome to Hope Church. Welcome, Hope at Home. I wasn't here last week, so I understand there was a couple new people. And you came back, so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You must have been a good preacher here. I wasn't here. My name is Kevin St. Clair. I'm the senior pastor here at Hope Church. My wife's probably with the kids right now. Her name's Amanda. She's in a yellow shirt today, so you can meet her as well. And we've been in a series called Fruitful, as you can see. I hope you've been doing kind of a checkup on your spiritual life during this series, right? That would just kind of be the natural thing. We've been going through all the fruits of the Spirit. It's kind of important to check up and see if these things are coming out of your life and out of your heart and they're flowing through your life. This is kind of what we're meant to do, right? This is what the Lord wants to do. So for the final time in this series, let's read our passage one more time. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance," which is patience, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness," which we talked about last week, "and finally, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Now, when I read back through this list and think about all that we've learned through this series, I can't help but think that this last one on self-control, it almost seems like it doesn't fit with the rest. Right? It's a little bit different because when you look at all the rest of these, they all seem to be, you know, in relation to other people. The giving away of this fruit of, for example, love to other people. But this last one points right back to us. And the truth is that the work of the Holy Spirit has a double purpose in our lives. Yes, we are to give away the fruit of our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, all of them. But it's also meant to bring our own lives under control, under self-control. Isn't that interesting? Now think about that. God intends for us to develop self-control through this process of fruit bearing. Pretty important. So we need to figure out what we mean when we say self-control. Did you hear that and you think a few things? Does it mean life is always completely in our control? Does it, you know, how much of our lives are to remain in our control? Just some questions that might come up. Many of us want to remain in control of our lives, but that doesn't mean you have much self-control over your life. So let's see what it means. The Greek word used here in Galatians, when translated, it means this. It means temperance, all right, or self-control. Restraint, especially when related to our passions and our desires. Yeah, how many of you out there have passions and desires? Anybody? You can answer this one, because we all got passions and desires, all right? Sometimes it can be hard to rein those things in. They can kind of take over. If we had time to dive into the context of this passage, which would be pretty responsible, but seriously, we don't have time today. But if we had time, we would see that some of the converts to Christianity in the early church were using their new freedom in Christ to indulge the sinful nature. And then claiming that they were free to do whatever they wanted to do because of the forgiveness of sin, which was secured by Jesus. And so Paul here in Galatians, he speaks here of the goal of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is to be self-controlled. All right? Self-control isn't about being the captain of my own ship all the time. It's not about God controlling you and telling you what to do all the time and forcing you to do His will. In this context, it's about being in control of our passions and our desires, which often include our sensual appetites, okay, as it did here in the church of Galatia. Now, the Holy Spirit is about bringing your life under control so that we don't experience a catastrophe in our lives. All right, this is about becoming disciplined in the fruit of the Spirit and training in being self-controlled. God wants to give you the ability to make great decisions for your life. He wants that for you. He wants you to make great decisions. And that takes self-control. Okay? Now, I want to tell you why we need to be self-controlled. This is important because someone might be thinking, well, that sounds great, but I don't really want to be that. I'd rather just stay in charge of my own life and do it all my own way. That's what some people think. But hear me out. You want this fruit. You do. More than anything, you should want this fruit. And the first reason that you should desire the fruit of self-control is for protection. For protection. Self-control will protect you. Okay, let's take some wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Listen to what this says. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks what? Self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken through or broken down is a person who lacks self-control. Obviously, in those days, safety was all about having walls. Okay, we had kingdoms and all these walls surrounding him. It was the number one most effective method to protect a city. So self-control is about safety. So spiritually speaking, God intends for us to put walls up around our lives and our hearts. Right? Of course, cities have walls and they have gates. And so the idea here from Proverbs is this. It's that we are to be in control over what goes in and what goes out of the walls. You see that? But the person without self-control is like a person with no walls. In essence, that person's life is doomed. Why? Because without self-control, we inevitably allow things in from every direction. I mean, seriously, we will allow into our lives anything from whichever way the wind blows without walls. And eventually, here's the problem, we will let something in that destroys the city. Spiritually speaking. So the Holy Spirit desires self-control to become the fruit of walking with the Lord. And that means regulating what goes in and what comes out of your life. We have to do that every day. The Holy Spirit in you empowers you to do this very thing. Right, let's listen to this next verse from Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 32. It says this, better a patient person, Of course, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Then a warrior, one with what? Self-control. Then one who takes a city. What's this about? This is about the power of self-control. It's the true power in our lives. That the Holy Spirit wants to come into your life and help you develop self-control. Self-control becomes then the key to enjoying the life you have built. It is so important. Right? You can't enjoy marriage if it isn't submitted to God and to your spouse. Right? Without that, you will ruin it. No doubt. And life throws a lot of things at us. And all those fiery darts that come at you and the ramparts that are being built up on your walls and the catapults. Okay, I like sound effects. Okay, that try to destroy you. These are all of Satan's attempts to get over the walls and into your life. And they are all just ways to provoke you, because you're protected, right? By the Lord. There are ways to provoke you to lose your self-control. And this is the second reason why we need self-control. Right here, the loss of self-control causes the most damage. The loss of self-control causes the most damage. And when the enemy is done trying to get into the city through your gates and all of the disguises that he puts on don't work on you, he hopes to overwhelm the walls with a total loss of self-control. In fact, all the other fruits are basically our emotions, our feelings, and our thoughts, and our actions that have been brought under control, submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And so the question I have here is, what does it take to master our passions and desires like that? What does it take? Because that's hard. Let me illustrate with a quick vacation story, okay, from this recent week. As you know, I was out of town with my family at our national conference, which was a phenomenal time, and it's an important time for all the pastors of Open Bible Churches to get together, right, to cast vision, do some voting on some things, bylaws, all that kind of, some of that's boring stuff, but just being together, being inspired and encouraged, it's an important time. We went along with the pastors, okay? Zach and Kelsey came, and we all went together with the Ayers family. And so once the conference was done, we decided to do some vacationing together, which was a great time of kind of bonding of the staff. Would you agree? It was fun. Well, we had some separated time. One of the things that I really wanted to do with my kids was to see if we could catch a shark. Yeah. I mean, my kid, when I said, hey, I think we're going to try to catch a shark, they're like, what? Dude. Let's do it. So we went to see if we could catch a shark, and we chartered an early morning boat out of Cape Canaveral. But what I was unaware of, by the way, we did catch a shark. I'll show you the picture if you want, but it's not in the sermon, okay? What I was unaware of was that there was going to be a rocket launch that same morning from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. Wow, that sounds cool. Unfortunately, I didn't figure it out until about 30 minutes to launch. I never even looked, and then suddenly I just thought about it, and then I was like, whoa, this thing's going to launch like now, hopefully, right? And the marina was about 35 minutes away, so I said to the kids, get in the car, and the kids thought I was rushing them into the car because we were late, but we weren't late, we were early. And I informed them on the way that we might get to see a rocket launch, So we had to hit the road. The rocket I was hoping to see had been scrubbed from launching 10 days earlier, and it was rescheduled to launch right around the same time we were scheduled to arrive at the marina. Pretty cool. So as we neared our destination, we looked up, you know, had a little countdown going in the car. We looked to the horizon, and what a show. What a show. We had a front row seat from our vehicle. Let me show you some pictures of the launch and tell you about the future of high-speed internet at the same time. Okay? So this was kind of what we saw from the car. Very, very, very cool. It's just mesmerizing seeing this stuff. Let's go to the second one. Here's some people on a beach, which is super cool. Here's what I say. If you want a cool vacation, like try to find a beach around Cape Canaveral and then go check that out. I mean, that is cool. Now let's get an up-close version. This is the rocket that actually launched, an actual picture of it. And that is an Atlas V rocket, all right? It's customizable, it's versatile, and it's used for all types of missions. All right, just to give you the short story. Its mission for this launch is to deliver Amazon's $10 billion mega constellation of satellites into orbit to provide internet around the globe. So someday you might be getting internet off of one of the satellites in that rocket. Pretty cool, huh? The rocket right there you see carried 27 satellites to space on June 23rd, the day we saw it, which was added to another 27 that are already there for a total of 54. Amazon plans on launching a total of 3,232 satellites into space. And the project is called Project Kuiper. That's spelled K-U-I-P-E-R, in case you're interested in doing some further studies on that. But here's what it also means. It means there will be plenty more rocket launches to see. Okay? And by the way, if you didn't know this already, Elon Musk is way ahead of the game here. He already has over 7,800 satellites circling the globe, providing internet through the Starlink constellation. Welcome to the future. Okay? Now, in order to do this successfully, there is obviously a very complex process that must happen. And my understanding of a rocket launch is very limited, okay? I just think someone sits in a room and pushes a button and the thing goes up. All right, you know that's not how it works. I've learned a few things in my research. Between engineers, technicians, mission control operators, and safety personnel and all the other support, there are about 2,700 people involved in a single rocket launch. The exact number isn't available online. That's what I was told when I researched, okay? But it is safe to assume that hundreds of people are involved in every launch. What are they all doing? Well, a bunch of stuff. They're monitoring safety systems, weather conditions, ground systems, the launch sequence, and a variety of other things we would never think about, one of which is called the telemetry of the rocket. Anyone ever heard that term? Telemetry, which means performance data in real time. All right, data being transmitted from the rocket as it's ripping through the atmosphere. And here's my point. I'm guessing Jeff Bezos and whoever else are invested in these satellites reaching their destinations would prefer someone in control of this very complex project who knows what they're doing, who has experience, and who can make all the right decisions in real time, not in some mock-up hypothetical situation, but in a real situation, so that this launch is a complete 100% success. There is no other good outcome of the launch, because even a 1% failure might mean the rocket is completely destroyed and it never reaches its destination. In fact, if you saw the news just 2 weeks ago, Elon lost one of his SpaceX rockets. Did you see that? It blew up on the launch pad, right? Due to what they called an anomaly. They think that perhaps there might have been a tiny puncture in a nitrogen tank, and the whole thing blew up. But it is a process requiring great discipline, okay, to make that happen. And part of that process is knowing when to say no to something. This is really important. And knowing who is in ultimate control. Let me read you a verse from Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Here's what it says. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live what? Self-controlled." There it is again. "Upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do good." This says we are to be self-controlled to the point where we learn when to say no in this present age right now. Part of the working of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is to know when to say no. Now, that certainly doesn't mean we do whatever we want. In the case of launching rockets to space, control is given to the control center, which is actually made up of two different control centers. There's the launch control, and there is the mission control. Now, how this works, regardless of what mission control thinks and how badly they want the mission to move forward and be completed, launch control retains all the power to either say yes to the launch or to abort the launch and say no to the launch. Launch control is not so wrapped up in the details of the mission. They're more concerned with safety. But once that rocket clears the tower, as soon as it clears the tower and lifts off, an amazing thing happens between two control centers. Power is completely transferred over to mission control, who then takes over and oversees the rest of the space flight all the way through until its completed mission and its return to Earth. Now, why did I go into so much detail on this rocket launch? Why do I share this story? Because what it takes to master our passions and our desires, what it takes to launch your Christian life into a fruitful one, is a similar thing. Two different control centers working together, one yielding to the other when necessary. Now, I know we all have our own control center, right? It wants to do what it wants to do. But sometimes when we make decisions based on ourselves, we disregard some of the safety concerns. We might be willing to take the risk if we are controlled by our own control center. But if you really want your life to launch, if you really want the fruit of the Spirit to be produced from your life, at some point, there will need to be a transfer of power. Which brings me to my third reason that you need self-control. We have our own telemetry. Okay? Our own real-time performances and data. Life comes at you in real time. That's why we need self-control. It doesn't wait. It just hits you. And without getting into too much detail, let me just say, I have been offered things in my life, some unholy things. What do you do with that real-time data when it happens? I wish I could say that my real-life decisions in real time were always the right ones. But they weren't always. And if you could think about it in your mind, you could probably think of what some of the things I'm talking about that I've been offered. Drugs, alcohol, other inappropriate stuff I don't want to talk about. There's kids in the room, right? But those decisions in real time could have been catastrophic for my life. And that's what I mean by real-time decisions. You will make hundreds of really important decisions this week. Every one of us will make hundreds of important decisions. In fact, the average person makes about 35,000 decisions a day. There's some real important ones in there, huh, that can become very catastrophic. The question is this: who is in control over all the decisions you make? Are you in control? You may think you are, but are you really in control? Are you in so much control that you can say you won't create a catastrophe? If you're all by yourself and given the right time and the right place and the right situation and the right conditions, you could always make the right decision. I don't know if you could do that. I can't do that. I'll say it again. Many of us want to remain in control of our lives, but remaining in control for some has meant retaining control and doing what you want, when you want, how you want. And you may be in control, but that doesn't mean you have much self-control. See what I mean? This is why we need the Holy Spirit so badly. We have to learn to make good decisions that don't end in catastrophe and that can do what's right in real time when life just hits you unexpectedly. This is what the Lord wants for you and me. This is what He has offered you and me. His plan and His purpose wasn't only about dying for our sins. It wasn't only about making a way to heaven where there is no way. It was also about complete transformation and life change so that you can deal with life in real time as it comes at you. And that's what we must get good at. Just as it takes an entire team of people to launch a rocket, nobody would ever do it on their own, not even a billionaire. You can't get to all this fruit on your own. Love, joy, peace, all of these things, they're not always the natural outcomes of our circumstances. Have you experienced that? They're not always the first thing we do. Right? Especially not when we run our lives by our own control center and our own rules and our own reasoning. We need another control center. All right? Mastering our self-control requires the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know today that God has known this all along. We're just catching up, right? He's known this all along. And it's why he has left us help. Here's what Jesus said before he launched into heaven. From John chapter 14, let's put that up. Starting in verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. Another what? A whole new control center. Another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he lives with you and he will be in you. As you go about your day and all the real-time stuff just hits against you, the Holy Spirit is with you. And so I have a question for you today. Is it time for you to give control over? Is it time for you to give control over to the Lord? Is it time for you to allow the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life? To be that other control center. No longer just you making all the decisions, but yielding those to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. And if you do that, I can guarantee that you will begin to establish the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And here's what I think the number one indicator is, that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life in the fruit of self-control. Has your life been yielded to his control? As for me, I'm going to continue to let the Holy Spirit be my mission control, or maybe my launch control, or either one, whatever he wants to do. Right? The Holy Spirit's not always about having a sensational experience. Right? Sometimes the best indicators that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life is that you have yielded your decisions to God's Word and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to move to the next stage of our day here. And every final week of the month, we receive communion together. And so we're going to move into that. And let me give you some quick instructions. If you haven't been here before, you'll see a communion table with bread and juice in each corner. In a minute, I'm going to dismiss you, and you just go to that corner, grab the elements, and come back to your seat. And you can pray there. Get before the Lord, pray with your family. If you feel uncomfortable, you don't have to take communion. If you are someone who would say, I'm saved and I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior and I claim the blood of Christ, I would say, go for it. If you haven't made that decision, if you haven't yielded power to Him, I'd say, don't do it. Use this time to get right before the Lord. Okay, no one's going to judge you for whatever decision you make here today. But let me tell you this, God wants to launch you into a fulfilling life of fruitfulness. And this is how it has all been made possible. It was Jesus who came to show us the kingdom of heaven. It was Jesus who patiently and painfully endured the cross for you and for me. And so as we receive this communion today, I want us to remember Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Today I want us to remember what Jesus did on the cross and remember that it was him who brought his body under control. And he submitted it to the will of the Father, to death, so that you and I could have eternal life. He was tempted. He was tempted to abort the mission. He was tempted in the flesh. He was tempted just as you and I are tempted, but his mission was clear, that the kingdom of heaven would launch and spread across the earth, and that people would be completely changed by the Holy Spirit, and the gospel would advance around the globe. Amen. None of this is about getting there on our own. You have help in the Holy Spirit. We just need to ask. One last thing I want to say. We close out this series. You know, every rocket has a launch window. Every rocket has a launch window. A specific period of time when a rocket has to be launched to reach its intended destination. We have also been given a window of opportunity. It is the window of grace that has been blown open for us to receive Christ as our Savior. One day, that launch window, that window of grace, will be closed. But today, that window is open. Will you submit to his authority in your life? That is the question I want to leave you with today. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord, we thank you for your body that was submitted to the pain of the cross. And we thank you, God, for your blood that was poured out for our lives. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to make the decision to yield control to you. Help us recognize the advocate, the Spirit of truth today. Teach us, Father, to say no to the things that we need to say no to in this present age. Would you break our hearts, Lord? Show us the ways in which we have grieved the Spirit through some of our own decision making. And restore us today. Forgive us, Lord. We give you all the praise. Amen.